You red eye? We are red eye. So, good morning again. Love is blind. Love is blind. See what you find. That's what we're going to look at today. In Genesis, we're going to be in Genesis 29 and 30. And in 30, we'll go all the way to verse 24 today. So what is love is blind? When you hear somebody say love is blind, this is interactive. When you hear somebody say love is blind, what are they saying? Go.
Clueless.
Clueless. Okay, that's part. Somebody else. Go. Three, two. They only see the good stuff, right? So they're clueless and they only see, the only reason they're clueless is because they don't see the good stuff. Why? Because they're going, she's cute. Or he's handsome. And that's what they see. They don't see all the other stuff, right? Yeah, spitting in the sink, doing the toilet paper the wrong way, you know, squeezing the middle of the toothpaste instead of the bottom of it. So what are we going to see here today is, dig this. We're going to see, again, Isaac sending out Jacob to go up to Padam Aram, to go search out Laban, his wife's father? Yeah, something like that. I'll figure it out. Anyway, to go get a girl. He's going to go marry his cousin. But it's allowed, right? It's allowed. It's a cultural allowance there. So that's what he's going to do. Why is he going to do that? Because he saw Esau get jacked up with the Canaanite women. They were unequally yoked. They were unequally yoked. Esau, I mean, for a bowl of beans, he gives up his birthright. Beans equals good minus birthright, right? I don't care. I'm just hungry. Just give me some lentils. He also, through Jacob and his mom's lie, say lie, put on old dead skin wrapped on their arms and his neck, fresh blood dead, so he fooled his dad that couldn't see. Well, that whole honor your mother and father sure ain't coming out good there, right? So he could lie, so he could get that blessing. Bless me, Father, right? Watch this. He's going to send him out. If you're taking notes, by the way, prayer request, there you go. If you don't get emails from us, fill this out. Y'all been getting your emails? It's got it filled out? Say yay. Okay. Okay, great. Also on here, if you want to know a little bit more about us, on the back of this fold-out thing, here's our logo. Say pretty. Okay, and then all the other stuff has to do with where we're linked up. Sorry, I'm just enjoying you following. On the right side is just general notes, things that just blurt into your head. Scriptures, always write your scriptures down first and then go find them, okay? So jot your scripture down, and this little box down here is what you would tell somebody else or your takeaway. That way, at the end of the time when I go, what's the Lord telling you? You can go, there you are. Anybody need a Bible or any of those little, because Gordo will pass those out for you if you need. Gordo's going to be passing out here in a minute. So jot, get your pen out. There's pens in the back of the thing in front of you. Jot it down. Do you know why? If you're just listening, you're only going to remember 5%. That means 95% you're going to forget. If you jot it down, listen, and read it, you're going to remember 85%. Your value quotient of memory will go out and serve the community. Does that make sense to you? So if you need a pen, just throw something at Gordo and he'll throw one back at you. Just don't hurt him. He's got to run sound today. Father, your word, as you see fitting, would you please do it and get us out of your way. 28 is where we're going to start, and then we'll be on 29, and then 30 through verse 24. Father, your word, as you see fitting, would you just please, 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 Holy Spirit, go before us and attune our ears to you, Lord. Attune our ears to you. We pray it in your name. And everybody said, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Listen to your elders, right? Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. It was her uncle. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you that you may be an assembly of peoples. And give you a blessing, the blessing of your granddad, Abraham, to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padam Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, and the mother of Jacob and Esau. That's who he is. And then we'll be jumping over to 29, so if we hear you flicking through your pages. Why is he sending him over there? Because he doesn't want him to be unequally yoked. You guys know what a yoke is? It's what you tell somebody and they laugh, right? No, that's not yolk. It's that yellow stuff in an egg. No, that's not a yolk. This is a yolk. Say, I didn't know that, Dave. Some of you did. You think that's heavy?
Yes.
Come on, do you think it's heavy, yes or no?
Yes.
Right? It's a little heavy. How'd you like to have that around your neck? You see, you got your head right here, insert face, and you got whoever you got, insert face. Well, if you're with a business company that doesn't have godly principles, your face, their face. If you're with a girl or a guy, your face, their face. Whoever's in here is going to go wherever this and go because you're yoked together, right? And that's heavy. Dude, you put that on your neck, you're going to be crying mama like that, right? You got the weight of the wood, and the modern ones are metal here. Some will be metal there. You'll even see fence breakers for cattle where they'll put them like this where they can't get through the fence. Can we get another slide? That's what they're there for. Moo. Right? Moo. They're there to, one's there to teach the other or vice versa. They'll try to put them as equally as they can so they both will pull at the same time. If you have a weaker one, the older one will train, or a younger one in the pulling business. How would you like to have one of those? Not the cow, the yoke. How would you like to be, pick one. How would you like to be, say, I want to do that job. See, you don't understand. You're already yoked to stuff. Did you get that? You're already yoked to stuff. Can we get the next picture? This is you being yoked to just something else that looks like you. Right? Moo. What are you doing? Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Right? We got a picture of two cattle here, two Herefords. They're great for your plate and great for pulling whatever you're doing, right? And I know for us, the vegan side, right? When you eat a cow, they eat grass. Does that make them vegan? No, it doesn't, right? You got to eat your own grass, right? So anyway, they're going to go wherever they go. So when you are bound to a company that is not a faith-based company, wherever that company is will be a blend of what you're going to be. Are you catching that so far? If they have poor tidings, that's a reflection on you and a defamation to the name of the Lord. Am I telling you to leave your company? No. But you need to yoke. If you're already yoked to that company, you got to keep your word to where you're at, but you need to bring them up. You need to be the stronger one that says, hey, we're going this away. Because you can make a difference at your company. You do know that, right? You can make an amazing difference. It's just little old me and big old God. Because that's who we're supposed to be yoked to, right? Same in marriage. How many times have we seen people yoked together with unbelievers, and you got the gal that's over there just praising the Lord, and the guy is sitting there, the anchor, not taking him anywhere, or vice versa. Many times have I seen a person not fulfill their ministry because of the anchor of their spouse. Do you know one of the things when we do wedding vows, one of the vows are this, and you won't necessarily hear these. We've added and incorporated them. Is one of my vows is I honor you, obviously. I obey you. This is the woman talking to the man, right? But one of my goals is to fulfill everything in you that God has and be one that supports that. And the man says the same to his bride, that my heart is with you. I obey the Lord. I'm going to guide you, and I'm going to help fulfill everything God has for you in your life. See, when you put that on your thinking cap, your marriage looks different. Because it's all about me and you can fall. Honey, I got that girl. I'm just going to be good enough to keep you. That's called average. That's called average. You know, the bad news is that average is the bottom of the top. Hey, but the good news is you're at the top of the bottom. Honey, I just want you to grow up, and when you get big, son, I want you to be just good enough to give her. And don't go any further than that. No, that's not what the Christian man does. That's not what the Christian woman does. We're yoked, but we're not yoked just to this. We got to be yoked first to this. Are you reading me? That's our picture. This is first before any relationship comes in. My bride has to love Jesus Christ more than she loves me. I'm number two. Don't get weird. I'm number two. I have to love her more than him. Him more than her. Because when I love him more, she gets the fruit blessings. Do you understand? When any of that is amiss, we're off. When I'm trying to put my bride more importantly than Christ, or my business more importantly than Christ or my bride, it's out of whack. First and foremost to the Lord, second to my bride. Well, what if I'm not married? You are. You're already married to the Lord. Well, I don't have a bride or a groom here on earth. That's all right. You're not ready yet or at all. So you're first married to the Lord, and then you're to your family, and then to your business, etc. I see people that will exalt their kids above all else. It's like, bro, you're putting them on a pedestal that needs to be knocked down. All right? Can we get a scripture? Can I get a scripture, please? Pick one. I think it's 2 Corinthians, right? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has the righteous with lawlessness? They don't understand the love and all the above the way that God does. And what communion has light with darkness? Well, are there unbelievers that can love? Well, absolutely, but not in the fullness of the Lord. How about that next scripture, what he talks about yoke? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Do you see what he says? You're putting the yoke on not to be bound down from me, but to learn from him. You're the weaker oxen. You're learning his ways. You're learning the way when he moves, you'll know to move. You guys watch football? Just two of you? Oh, my gosh. The whole offensive line, they know how to move in concert to work with each other. You know, men and women in a foxhole are looking over each other's shoulders for stuff like this, right? They're learning from each other. They're guiding each other. They're guarding each other. But when we learn of the Lord, when we're yoked to him, we are to learn of his ways. Well, I've known the Lord for a long time. I've already heard all that. Yeah, well, you just yoked yourself to pride. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how to make dirt, do you? Remember the joke? Scientist says anybody can make a human. God says, really? He says, yeah. He says, you make him out of dirt? Yeah. He says, well, go ahead. And he reaches down to get dirt. And you know what God says? Get your own dirt. Right? So I don't know how to make dirt. So I'm going to learn from him. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Thus, you need to be that way. Not thinking more of yourself, right? And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the burden that you're currently under, plaudits and hap and all this stuff you think that's all going well, it's heavy, bro. It's heavy on you. His is light. When I see people give their lives over to the Lord, they think, oh, I got to get in all these little rules and whatnot. Dude, you're already in a bunch of rules, and they are a ball and chain on every limb you have. But you know what? He breaks all those chains. He breaks every dadgum one of them. And I've seen people give their lives to the Lord, and there's a lightness. They'll always say, this burden has been lifted from me. And you never know it until it's been lifted. Yeah. That's what he was telling the Corinth church. Because they were binding themselves to the ways of the world in Corinth. Hey, they always talked about being Corinthianized, right? They'd be like, let's take them to Atlantic City. We'll get them cityized. Let's take them to Vegas. They'll know all that. We'll get them to act just like they do in Vegas. No. No, that's not us. That's not us. I don't need to be told what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. Well, as you're writing your scripture down, write down Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know what fool translates? Idiot. But he who heeds counsel is wise. If you're getting counsel than anything other than the Word of God, or somebody that's being led by the Lord through the Word, you're getting poor counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I don't like, you know, especially you got young guys or, you know, teenagers or younger or moving into adulthood, young adults. I don't like being told what to do. Really? Come down to TN7 and watch some people that are learning to be shaped for the Lord because they want to know his ways because of his yoking. That's no yoke. Proverbs 13:10, pride comes nothing but strife, but with well-advised is wisdom. And then lastly, Proverbs 15:31-30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, And a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear hears the rebukes of life and will abide among the wise. That means live among the wise. I got to tell y'all something. I don't want to be around stupid people. No offense, but stupid propagate stupid. Right? I know your friends, I know you. I see your friends, I see you. Do you understand? You're the average of the seven people you know and admire the most. I want to admire Jesus Christ the most, the Holy Spirit the most, God the most, and now I'm looking for four more, right? And it looks like a lot of y'all. It looks like a lot of y'all. That means you. With wisdom is character. Proverbs, excellent source of wisdom. I just want to get wise. Code Proverbs, basically Genesis to maps. That's the maps in the back. Let's go to 29, see what we got. 29 and 1. Does anybody need a Bible? Everybody got a Bible, paper or plastic? Need one? Going once, going twice. Sold. So Jacob went on his journey, and he came to the end of the land of the people, came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and he saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying in it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone, which is a gate valve in a sense, stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth to shut it up. And Jacob said to them, "My brethren, where are you from?" He says, "We're here from Haran," which is mountaineering. Then he said, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor, the snorer guy?" And he said, "Yeah, we know him." And he said, "How's he doing? Is he well?" And they said, "He's well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep." And then he said to them, "Look, it is still high in the day. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go feed them." But they said, "We cannot until all flocks are gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth to water the sheep." You know what Rachel's name means? You. Sheep girl, right? Daddy probably said, "You're just as cute as a you. You're so cute, you." You. Where am I? Yeah. Then it came to pass. Did I get this? No. So in 9. Now while he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she was a shepherdess. And it was came to pass that when Jacob saw you, the daughter of Laban's mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban's mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's, his mother's brother. He's showing off. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was his father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son, so that he ran and told her father. Dude, he's stoked. "I got my bride. Woo-hoo!" Right? And gets over there and gives her a big old smooch. I don't know if it's a smooch lips or smooch cheek, but he's crying. He's weeping. You know, I prefer to consider the latter. Then it came to pass that Laban heard the report about Jacob's sister in 13. And he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into the house. So she told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely you're the bone of my bone and of my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. He's like, "Dude, you're my nephew. Hang out." And he did. Then Laban in 15 said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me nothing? Tell me, what should you? You're here working. What do you think you ought to hire out for?" Now Laban had two daughters. The elder name was Leah. That meant weak of eyes. And it wasn't weak like she had poor eyesight. It's she had a lighter color to her eyes than the others, right? And the younger was named Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful in her form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel. Love is blind. Hi, cover your eyes. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said to her, I will serve you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban says, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So they spit in their hand and shook, right? So Jacob seemed, he served for 7 years for Rachel in 20, and they seemed only like a few days because he had for her. All right, this is how many years he served. 7. Times 53,000 is the average American wage. That's a lot of money, don't you think? So let me tell you how much money that is. That's $371,000. And the time he spent was about 2,500 days, 2,557. So, fellas, break out your pen, write out a check, $371,000. Just basically go work for 7 years and give all your wages back over to your uncle. Are you feeling me? 2,500 days worth of work plus a month and a quarter, right? Maybe a half. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of dedication. And it went by like that. Have you ever gone through a decade or you look at your kids and they were like little shrimps and all of a sudden they go, what happened there? Right? They just grew. Time flies by, right? That's what happened to him here because he had loved her. 21, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife for my days are fulfilled because the 7 years have gone by that I may go into her. That means to have relationships with her and be fruitful and multiply. And Laban gathered all the men together of the place, made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening, he took his Leah, his daughter, and he brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah, and Zilpah means like tears of myrrh, droplets of myrrh. Gave his droplets of myrrh, his daughter to Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that behold, it was Leah. And Laban said, what? Are you, what? You're not Rachel. You're Leah. This ain't right. This is not right. Foul. Why have you done this? Why have you deceived me? And in 26, Laban said, it must not been done. And so in our country, it must not be done. To give the younger before the firstborn. Dude, you should have checked that out in the writing before you signed a contract. Love is blind. You don't see stuff that's going on around you. That's why it's nice to have good counselors. That's why we showed you the scripture in Proverbs. Hey, young folks, old folks, listen up. Have that pool of counsel around you. You got to have it. You just got to have it, right? Where am I? Somebody tell me I lost. Thank you. Fulfill her week, and we'll give you this one for the service, which you will serve for me still another 7 years. Why 1 week? Because that's, remember when we've taught historically about wedding times aren't just a day or an afternoon. You guys look at a three-hour wedding and toys behind it and think it's long. Try a full week of partying. Woo-hoo! Taco bar. We had a crushed taco bar for the graduation. Y'all didn't get none because you didn't come. That's all right. We had it. Yeah, somebody did. Yeah, Craig, he ate it all. So, but he did breathe on us, so we were like, thank you. Fulfill her week. So there's your week-long wedding, right? Then Jacob in 28 did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel. And Rachel as a maid for her. So we have Bilhah there, which like means modesty or troubled. Either way, modesty or troubled. Bilhah. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. So what's happening? That first love. Let me roll away the stone. Yeah, cry for her. Are we tracking? Are you tracking? Am I getting too flighty for you? All right, good. Hang on. We'll see if we can change that. So he stayed another 7 years. What's 7 plus 7? Okay, so you want to know some numbers? Are you ready? Guys, break out your checkbook, get out your debit card. $742,000 is coming out of your pocket. For two, not one, but two. But wait, there's more, right? You've got all these hours now you've spent for him. 5,114 days you've spent of your life for those girls. Because that's 365 times that number, 14. Are we seeing commitment here? Would you take her out to a movie and get her some flowers and chocolate? Maybe a dinner, and all of a sudden you got a ring on that thing. This is dedication. This is dedication. It's commitment. But what I find funny is Jacob's going, dude, you lied to me. Dude, you lied to your dad. You brought your mom into a lie. You fought from the womb to the tomb. And now you're getting it back in kind? Please. Please. You're just getting fulfilled with what happened to you, right? How you liking being lined up with people, yoked to folks you probably shouldn't be yoked to in the first place? How you liking that? You digging it? How about kids? Let the games begin, right? You know what's going to happen, right? The women folk are going to lock up. Right? Here we are. In 31 of 29, you're picking on women. Dude, everybody gets hit here. Come on. We've already ripped the guys apart. Girls, we're just seeing what the Bible does. It shows all the scars, all the bumps, all the stuff we want to hide away. They don't hide it away. They don't hide it away. 29 and 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Look at there. The Lord still cared about Leah enough to take care of her to bring that love quotient. He loved her, even though Jacob was like, no. No. Y'all been rejected? I have. You know what it's like. I don't want to go there. I don't want you to get y'all. Just, no, you had that, and just move on so you don't get all. Or you can go. She was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Reuben. And it has nothing to do with a sandwich. She called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord surely has looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. See, I have a son. That's what his name Reuben is. I've got a son that my husband will love me. I just named him after my affliction. She conceived again and bore a son, and because the Lord had heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me a son, and I'll call his name Simeon, which means the Lord has heard that I'm unloved. Stamped yet another kid with the affliction. 34, she conceived again and bore a son. Now this time my husband will come attached to me because I have borne him my three sons. Therefore, his name will be Levi, and it has nothing to do with blue jeans. Levi means this I will do, because Jacob should have seen my heart, and now God sees me. And then she conceived again, and now I'll praise the Lord. Therefore, she'll name his name Judah, and then she stopped bearing. Judah means praise. Praise the Lord. Praise that finally this man will love me. Love me. Do you see the horizontal that's going on here? I just want him to love me. I just want to love God. And the love of me or the love of relationships will stem from that, even if it's supposed to or not. So let me love God first. Now, when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. You got four kids. Jacob, give me a son. Give me a son, or I'll die. Where's God in that? She's going horizontal. It never works. We go to God and let him make the adjustments, right? Anybody that's been here any length of time knows that factually. If you want to see a change in somebody, Lord, change me. Do with them whatever you see fit. Change them so I can live better. No, change me. Jacob's anger was aroused in 30 and 2. And he says, Am I in the place of God who has withheld the fruit from your womb? First time that Jacob is getting it right. No, you're not God, bro. You're a liar and a cheat and a thief and all the above. But you're still blessed by the Lord. So her name is, here's my maid, Bilhah. I can't have any kids. She's got all the kids. You're not God. Take my woman, Bilhah. And by the way, when she bears kids, she can sit on my knees during childbirth, and that'll be mine too. Because that would have been a custom of ownership. Now to me, that's a little weird. I don't want to be seeing somebody else give kid on my knees. It's like, no, no, no. Can I go get a sports page? I'm out. You know, girls, I don't know if it'll say one of y'all are pregnant and having a kid and somebody else wants your kid and you go sit on their knees so they can deliver a kid so they can stake claim to them. It's just weird. Have Bilhah. You know? What's up with that? It's just weird. This is a weird culture. It ain't ours, but we got weird stuff too. We kill kids. So in 3, she said, here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her so she'll bear a child on my knees that I may also have children by her. Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, God has judged my case, and also he has heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore his name will be named Dan, which was to judge based on my situation. Wrong, bro. You gave Bilhah to him and didn't ask God what to do, let alone wait on him to bring one for you. God's heard me? Dan. If your name's Dan, sorry, judge. Don't judge me. Don't Dan me. 7. And Rachel's maid, Bilhah, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. With a great wrestling I have wrestled, she says, with my sister. Indeed, I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. Means like WWE, my sister. So wait a minute. You're fighting with your sister and you're going to name your kid after the fight for your sister, with your sister, over your pride? Y'all feeling this a bit? Dude, what is up with that? And then 9, when Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah. She goes, I got no more kids. Honey, you come here. Rachel did it, so can I. And her maid and gave her to Jacob as wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah, droplets, bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. His name's going to be Gad. No, you don't understand what a troop comes. Honey, it's on. I'm bearing some. We're bringing some kids into this thing, right? That's what's happening. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore a second son. And it says, I'm happy for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher, which means happy. Ding. Right? Crazy, huh? Asher. Now Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel said, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. And she said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, what's a mandrake? It's a guy out there pulling weeds, right? Man, okay, no, it's not that. A mandrake was a love apple. See, they had a superstition that these mandrakes would cause you to be all, let's go, make kids. Mandrakes, apples. Okay, let me see something. You want the mandrakes, which is a superstition, and you think the apples are going to have this sexual desire, the blue pill of apples or whatever. Bro, did you not learn the apple in the garden thing? I mean, really? Apple, garden, snake? That's why I like this shaker. It reminds me of the... God brings children if he chooses to. There's so many times I've seen people that could not bear children, and that's fine, whether the husband couldn't sire, the bride could not receive, and then they go and adopt a child, and then all of a sudden they're popping out kids left and right. I'm like, Lord, thank you, because he wants us to adopt because we've been adopted. Right? Oh, my gosh. Lord, you deserve it. Mandrakes! Please, she says, somewhere in 14. Then Rachel said, please, give me some of your son's mandrakes. He's like 7. But she said to her, it's a small matter that you take my husband, that you take my son's mandrakes too. Rachel says, therefore, he will, Jacob, lie with you tonight for your son. All right, look, you're going to go once, you're going to have to get out of the soul. For X amount of mandrakes, you can stay with Jacob tonight and bear children. Okay, so now we're trading favors for compensation. And you know, when you trade favors of the body for compensation, there's kind of a word for that. Yeah, but we're not going to use it much. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I surely have hired you with my son's mandrakes. He goes, mandrakes? Little blue pill? Superstition. And laid with that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore a fifth son. That Leah. And God said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she named him Issachar, hired kid. Okay, let me get this right. So you traded mandrakes with the oldest one. You traded mandrakes with your sister, with your oldest son or nephew, so that you could go ahead and for compensation with Jacob, and kid come out, and you're going to call him Deal. let's make a deal, or whatever his name is. Is this going crazy to you, or is that just me? Oh, it's just me. Fifth son, Issachar. Deal is done. 19, then Leah conceived again, bore Jacob a sixth son. And then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him a sixth son and called his name Zebulun. Habitation, my man is with me. Okay, these are your rocks of remembrance, are your children, and you're going to take all this stuff, all this war you've had with your sisters back and forth, and you're going to name your kids to mark their lives with your angst and anxiousness. Afterwards, she bore a daughter named Dinah or Dina. You know what that means? It means judgment. That was the last child she bore. It's the only woman that's talked about. I know that there's other daughters born, but it's mattersome to this. There's 13 that are reflected here. Dinah, judgment, actually means vindicated. I'm vindicated now. He has sired children, and I have yielded. He has children. I have been vindicated. Her name is I've been resolved. I've been made whole. Horizontally? Where am I? Where? 22? Okay. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son. God has taken away my reproach. So she called the name Joseph. The Lord shall add to me another son. Jehovah's added. Oh, why didn't you call him Mandrake? No, she's getting it right now. Joseph, right? I got my finger where I'm at, so I won't get lost. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph and Jacob and said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go for you. Know my service which I've done for you. And that'll be up and coming. Do you see what's going on here? We've got a chick named Vindicated. Benjamin comes on, but he comes in like chapter 39 or something. That's down the road. But what we have here is a bunch of people being big, and they are being big. It's called big of me. Not big of me, big o' me. That means to have multiple brides. What does Scripture say in Genesis 2:24? It says, dude, leave your mom and pop and go on over and one come to the other and become one flesh. Not one flesh here, one flesh here, one flesh here, one flesh here. One flesh. What does it say? Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined with his wife, and they shall become one flesh, not four, one. Bigamy is not a biblical construct based on Genesis 2:24. You know, you guys ever take out the garbage? You ever had that garbage in your can that really stinks and you're like, you know, you think that baby diapers are everywhere, right? And they're in your trash can and they've been sitting in the 90 and 100-degree sun. You know that feeling, right? Okay. Well, that's what's going on here. That's the kind of garbage we're taking out. See, the garbage we're taking out are so many things that gets in the way of God and us. Listen, stay focused. Laban lied, rather, and he broke the yoke between Jacob and Rachel. Do you see that in the picture? Jacob was so fixed, listen, Jacob was so fixed on Rachel that he didn't check out the rules of the engagement for contract, and he slept with Leah unwittingly, and Laban didn't say anything either. Disclosure. Okay, I like her. What's conditions? Well, you got to stick around for 7 years and spend $300,000 and then another. You see? He probably would have done it. Jacob not loving Leah, God not leaving her unloved. I'm just not loved by that man. I'm just not loved by that woman. I just feel lonely and unloved. You're never lonely and unloved. You only feel that way. but I got to have a sign. Jesus loves you. Love him back. It reciprocates. You can be just as lonely in a marriage or a relationship as you can be singularly. Did you know that? I'm rolling up on 35 years. Some of you got longer time. I can be lonely in a marriage. I don't need y'all to come comfort me. I got the Lord for that, and I got my bride. And if I don't have my bride, I got my pals, you know. But I have the Lord. I go through times of loneliness, married, right? Jacob sleeping with multiple concubines. I'm going to tell you right now, my bride is enough. That Hispanic woman, woo! She is like, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and we're going to do that. And all of it is because she's encouraged, mainly. She has a great sense of right and wrong. She'll pick up worms on a rainy day off a sidewalk so they won't get dried out and put them in the grass. She has a great care for animals. She loves to feed you. Taco bar. If you ever hear a taco bar. Good stuff. Now you go up there and go, this sucks. Just can't please you. Women were warring and using people and children as pawns. The men were doing it the same. They named them after their conquerors and conquests along the way. Are you loving this? Tell me you don't do that with your own kids. You'll take out something that their dad did or their mom did and brand them with it. You're just like your dad. You're just like your mom. I can't stand. Hey, I went through a divorce. You know, I was proud. I never said something bad about my wife in front of my kids. No, I saved it like a gossiping little girl, gossiping little guy to all my buddies. One of my favorite sayings, and I'm going to tell you this because it's horrid, was the best sound that I could have ever heard was the back of her head hitting the bottom of a casket. Yeah. But that's outside of the love of God. Now my hope for her is that she loves Jesus Christ. I have no animosity whatsoever. But when we're all bound up in it, see, and we'll take that and we'll start raising these kids with the brandishment of your failings, whether you're going to live through them vicariously or think you're going to do something miraculous in their life instead of just pulling all that garbage out of your life and confessing it before the Lord and living for Christ and raising these kids with love and letting them know that Jesus cares about them. And then he loves them. How's that shown, Mom? Well, he gave you me. He gave me you to love him first through and through. Trusting apples for God, for kids, and not God? What if I don't ever have kids? I'll tell you what, I've got so many kids. God has given me daughters, of which some of you know that I call you daughters. You're daughters of my heart. I call people brothers and sisters. You're special to me because God's special. You understand that? When you give a brotherly love or a brotherly hug or a sisterly love or a sisterly hug, it ain't that weird stuff. It's the appropriate way. It's just to love his creation the way he's loved. See, because this fatherless love, this what's called bastardization of love, we don't get it because we don't have the Father in it. So we love what, and we'll see from TV what we think we should be loving and doing. Wrong. All this bigamy, how petty these arguments are. Like our opinions matter. Well, they do to God as long as they're of his constructs. Pray, pray, pray. Resolve. Listen, this is it. Don't use schemes and people to advance your position. Do not do that. Don't use your children to move forward. You know, one of the protective things we have here is people will go to my bride to try to get to me. You know, you really ought to tell Dave that we should probably change the plants. Or, you know, you ought to tell Dave that we ought to and play this. And tell Molly, go tell Brent to play this song. You know what we teach them to do? Molly, you tell them to say, why don't you come here? She'll grab you by the nape of the neck and put you right before Brent. You know what Brent will do? He'll go, me, 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 me. No, he won't do that. I don't know what he'll do. I have no idea what he'll do. But when somebody tries to get through me, through my wife, using my wife against me, you know what she says? Sounds like you need to talk to Dave about that. Dave, they said you ought to change the flowers. And I'm like, I ain't changing no flowers. Are they pink? Definitely not. Purple? Okay. Don't use people to scheme and plot. You man up or you woman up and you deal with that person face and head on, and you do it by going to your knees before the Lord. Are we clear? If you got a problem with somebody, you go before the Lord and say, Lord, where have I sinned against you? Because all of our misgivings are against him first. Are we awake here? Are we listening? I know Saturday was a long day, nice warm weather, but this is food time. It's feed bag time. Don't mark your children. Don't battle scar your children in these ways. It's not fair to them. And if you've done it, undo it and go speak to them about, well, my child's already passed. Well, then you take a letter and take it out to this tombstone and you write that letter. Well, they've been cremated. There is no tombstone. Then you write that letter out and you write it out and you bleed what's in that letter. Lord, is there anything? Pour it out. And then you take that letter and you burn it and you have nothing to do with it anymore. Well, what about that bad dad or that bad mom or that person that treated me poorly? You do the same. You go reconcile right now. Oh, I'll get to it next week. You never will. Well, I'm trying. Trying ain't doing. It's not fair to belittle people with your baggage. They got enough of their own. Take your battles before the Lord. Now listen up. Last piece, for sure, for sure. At Outpost, or anybody that's listening, their church online, however it is, don't you bring that kind of silliness in here. Almost said a bad word. Thank you. Don't bring that silliness in here. Don't be treating people like that. You got a problem with somebody in this room or in this fellowship, you go to them with gentleness in the desire of restoring both of your relationships unto the Lord. That's how that's done. Don't put the plastic face on. If you've got problems with folks, get involved with them. I'm telling you, I'll do the same. God will put it on my heart that you're struggling in whatever. You don't think he doesn't do that with people? How did mom know that that happened? You know, how did dad know that? Holy Spirit. We know things. Yeah, don't be bringing that stuff in here. We don't want that kind of relationship. We want to be yoked to him, to learn of his ways, to love each other with respect and endearment. You should always be open. Men, open that door for your woman. Woman, are you listening? Let that man open the door for you. I can get it myself. Well, I know you can. But being a woman will allow him to open that door for you because he happens to cherish you second only to the Lord. And by the way, it allows him to have practice in showing that graciousness and you to show graciousness. You know, when the women folk leave in the evening or they walk out to their car by themselves on Tuesday night, we always have the guys walk out and check their car for them, make sure nobody snuck in the back seat. In Fort Lupton. We want to know you're guarded. We want to know you're cared for. These guys are conscripted to go clean off your windshields before you get in the car and shovel the snow between so you'll have an easy go getting in your car. Why? Because they're learning to serve you. Anybody in here, have I made you walk somebody out to the car? Raise your hand. Yeah. 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 Look at all these men folk, right? We help each other out. We expect to be fed. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. That's not part of it. Don't pin me with that. But watch this. These folks were embattled. Listen to this. These women were embattled. Guess what? How many tribes of Israel were they? 12. Right here. Every one of the names you heard, save Dinah or Dina. Every one of the names you heard are the 12 tribes of Israel that God blessed. Did he bless a lie? No. He blessed with his covenant because he sees time, past, present, and future in one. We've said that a billion times. Ready for billion two. He knows what's going to happen. Your homework? All right, this is where you're listening in. This is where you jot your notes. If you haven't already, check yourself right now. Listen to me right now. Check yourself. What do you have that's in the way of God? Right this second. Are your eyes wandering? Are you putting things in your body you shouldn't? Are you damaging in relationships? Are you using other people? Check that and take it before him. Anything that you have this week, your motives, if you have commitments that you've made to people, follow through until that commitment is done. And from that point on, if you're dealing with people that are unrighteous, end that. it'll change the entire economy, and it should. We want to do business with people that are of the Lord. Now, if you're a person that has a business company and you put a fish on your card and you're deceptive, take that fish off, throw them away. I'll buy your cards for you. Get that fish off of there. We don't want to defame the name of Jesus Christ at all, ever. What have you given your word to? Finish it. What have you given your actions to? Finish it. If it's something you've given your word to. But what are you doing with your words or your actions right now that needs to be transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ when you're yoked to Him and you're learning? You got the visual in your picture mind? Listen. Bring these before the Lord and apologize to Him. Please apologize to Him. This isn't a you should do this. This is, dude, this is freeing you up. Because you're trapped. I'm trapped. When I have my way instead of His way, I trap me. When I get the wisdom perceived, and that's quotational wisdom, of the world, I trap me. Get in the Word. Praise God. Repent. That means to turn and do no more. Get yourself lined up with Him. Put your stuff on the back burner. Get out a pencil for your scheduler and not a pen so he can make an erasing and adjustments that are there. This word, I love. Do you know why I love the word? Because it encourages us to Him. And we get to see all the wrinkles and the pimples and all the ugly stuff we cover up and that little face that we have coming in. They get to show it and we get to learn from it to not emulate it. Will we be perfect? Will we? No. But what we want you to do, what I want to do, is strive for excellence. You're going to fail. It's part of it. Your sin, you're born with sin-stained DNA. Strive for excellence. So, is love blind? And what do we find? We find Him. We find Him. You have communion over here today. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then this communion is for you. If you haven't, pause. Tell your life has been surrendered to Him. Well, you should be determining whether somebody can do that. I'm not. But He broke bread with those He's supposed to be breaking bread with. And the Christians since then have been broken bread. Well, can I ever break bread? Yeah, give your life to Jesus right now. Don't play games. You die today, you're hell bound. End of story. Well, that's rather harsh. Yeah, so is hell. Much rather tell you about it and you go to heaven than go to hell. Are we tracking? Are you sleeping? I don't think so. You're too quiet. You're wide awake. This communion reminds us of the blood He did. This communion reminds us how important we are to Him. This communion reminds us how important He is to us. This communion reminds us that He died bodily beaten beyond recognizable human form and bled to dry, and then life renewed. By His stripes, we are healed in the battle against Him. That's not a physically healing thing. This is the war. The battle wounds are healed. So when you come up for communion, and please do, come up and just rejoice in Him. You got anything that's hankering on you a bit, you know, pulling you down a bit, just confess it. You don't want to be taking this in an inappropriate way. Well, I just said a cuss word this morning. Well, I said one in my heart, too. It almost made it past my lips. Father, I'm sorry. That's not where I wanted to go. It takes time to unravel. But you know how fast it happens? Do this. Do that. One, two, three. That fast. Pretty cool. It even sounds like a guitar strum. Come on down. Come on in. The water's fine.
Father, it says in your word that you heard Leah in her distress. Lord, the ugly, unloved sister. You saw as beautiful, precious, and you showed love. Lord. Lord, and you do that for all of us. Father, for any of those hurts, for any of those wrongs that either we've been guilty of or have done, you took it, and you took it all on the cross, Lord. Because just as none of us could condemn one of our children, Lord, neither do you condemn us, for we are condemned already. Lord, and you paved the way that leads not to destruction, Lord, but to eternal life, because you love us, Father.